First reading today from Jeremiah is an extremely important passage from the Old Testament. And it talks about a new covenant. So why is this so important? What's the big deal with this passage? Well, first we have to look at what a covenant is. And a covenant is a sacred agreement between two people or between two nations, or in the case of the Old Testament, an agreement between God and his people. But it's a lot more than just a contract. It's actually a commitment, a complete and total commitment between the two parties making the covenant. And it actually establishes a family bond between the individuals entering into the covenant. And that's why marriage is a covenant, because you have a man and a woman who are not part of the same family who come together, and in marriage, they become a new family. And it's the covenant of marriage that establishes that family bond. If we look at the covenant with King David, the Lord said that the king would be like a son to him when he made that covenant. And so he was establishing a family bond. And in our first reading from Jeremiah, our Lord says that I will be their God and they will be my people. So that there would be a bond that we could, the Lord is our God. We can turn to him and intercede to him, and we're his people that promise to be faithful to him. So this covenant is an important concept that goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. Because Adam and Eve were created as children of God within a covenant before the fall. And of course, they violated the terms of the covenant. And throughout the Old Testament, our Lord reaches out again and again to try and bring people into a relationship with him. We have the covenant with Noah, and then the covenant with Abraham, the covenant with Moses, the covenant of David. And each one of these covenants was beneficial in terms of establishing a people that would serve the Lord. It taught them how to worship properly, how to live the proper morality, how to offer proper sacrifices to the Lord. But there is always a tendency for the people to very quickly drift away from these covenants and violate the terms of them. In part because sometimes they would externalize the religious practices. Like, okay, I just need to sacrifice these animals and I'm good, rather than having the right inner disposition. Or the morality would be too much for them, and they didn't want to follow the burden of the moral law. Or a lot of them would even drift into idol worship, because it was a little more flashy than worshiping an invisible God. You could carve a little image of a pagan god for yourself, and he'd do whatever you asked of him. You could carry him with you wherever you went, and you had your own little god. And that god made no demands on you. And so it was very tempting for people to turn to idolatry. But in the first reading, the Lord promises a new covenant. That one day the Lord would establish a covenant that would transform the depths of people's souls. And he says in the first reading, I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. So it would not just be a matter of external obligations, but an inner transformation that would happen with this new covenant. And so what's going to bring about this transformation? What's going to be so different about this new covenant that it's going to be so much more effective than every other covenant that the Lord made? Well, to answer those questions, we have to go to the Last Supper, when the new covenant was instituted. And then imagine for a second that you're there at the Last Supper with the apostles, looking into our Lord's eyes, as he says, no one has greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. And then he takes the bread and offers his body. And he takes the chalice and says, this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. Blood was the life force. Our Lord was offering his life in that chalice for us. Suddenly, with this covenant, it's not the transcendent God of the universe who's establishing this covenant kind of in a distant sense, but it's the incarnate God who reveals the full depth of his desire for friendship with us. And it's a friendship that fulfills the deepest desires of our souls, which are union for God and for a deep and profound friendship with Him. And so it's that friendship that was there in the Old Testament covenants, but it was so clearly revealed with Christ at the Last Supper that it's that friendship that has the power to touch us at the deepest levels of our hearts, and which transformed the hearts of the apostles and so many countless people throughout the generations who have committed their life to serving Christ. It's not about a sacrifice of animals or a sacrifice of wheat, but our Lord sacrificing Himself for us. And it's for that reason that no greater sacrifice can ever be made, and that there cannot be any other new covenants after this one. This is the eternal covenant, because it's the greatest sacrifice that could ever be offered. Our Lord offering Himself completely and totally, an infinite sacrifice. And when He did that at the Last Supper, He established a family bond, the beginning of the church with the apostles who are there, the beginning of a new family. And it's that same sacrifice that's offered for our sake at Mass. This is the memorial, meaning a making present of the Last Supper, of the sacrifice of Christ, which is made present and Christ commanded us to do when He said, "Do this in memory of me." And so Jesus Christ, acting through the priest as His living instrument, offers the same sacrifice that was offered at the Last Supper for our sake. And as we take the Eucharist, as we receive the Eucharist, we take our Lord into ourselves, the very life of Jesus Christ and His very power, we take into ourselves so that we can be transformed inwardly. And so I encourage each one of us, whenever we're at Mass, to recognize what's happening at this altar. And why it's so central and so important to Catholic worship, which is not just a prayer. I mean, it is the most powerful prayer that we have. But it's more than prayer. It's the covenant, where our Lord establishes a family bond with each one of us. And we're united together with each other in the bonds of a family as the church, as we eat together from the Lord's banquet. So we pray that we can internalize the importance of this bond, and also to be in awe of what the Lord's doing. You know, this is something that's absolutely incredible, that our Lord would bring us, mere human beings, who have sinned against Him so many times, that He would reach out to us and bring us into His family. And so as we're at this Mass, we should recognize the importance of what's happening, internalize it, and allow our Lord, as we receive the grace of the Eucharist, to write deeply upon our hearts.